Blog Talk Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio. Yeah. What time is it? It's time for Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Idea Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. And it's also about having fun with your friends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. If you would like to join in on the fun, call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, that number is 714-242-5272. You can also follow Brilliant Ideas on Facebook and Twitter. Brilliant Ideas Radio. Food, friends, and much, much more. And now, here's the man with the master plan.
Good morning, everybody out there in internet radio land. Welcome to the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. And I am your host, humble, of course, Brilliant Ideas. And I've got my trusty sidekick out there in Florida, Mr. Crispy. How are you this morning? How's Florida doing today? Is the sun is shining?
I am good. It's an awesome 61 degrees out, clear skies, and it's going to be a sunny, awesome day.
And once again, we're bringing sunshine to the radio.
That's right.
How's everything going out there? You got any big hot dates for the weekend or any big plans for the barbecue? I guess hot dates and barbecues go together.
No, I don't have anything super crazy, although I am going to go out tonight with my friend, and we're going to go to a vegan restaurant that's not too far from my house, and I'm going to try that. I'm going to try some new food.
Wait, whoa. Vegan? You're going vegan?
I'm not going vegan. I love my meat, but some of the stuff they had on the menu sounded pretty tasty.
You lost your barbecue card.
Awesome, that's great. I'm sure they can make barbecue tofu soup. I don't know.
Oh man, you've been hanging out with the club crowd too long, boy. I don't know what's wrong.
the hipsters. All I need is a fixed gear bicycle and ride around town with skinny jeans and Converse, and I'll be cool.
By the way, too, if my throat sounds a little raspy this morning, I partake, however you say it, of some alcoholic beverages last night, and I woke up this morning, and my tongue and teeth feel like they got little cardigan sweaters on. So,
Oh yeah.
You ever had that problem?
Oh yeah, it's like you wake up and it's like, wow, I got a mouthful of sand. This is going to be a great day. Shut the shades, leave a low light on, and just sit there staring at the ceiling like a crazy person.
Speaking of staring at the ceiling and crazy people, how's your neighbors doing?
Oh, I guess you saw my awesome post on Facebook at 3-4 in the morning. That was super awesome. Yeah. I
having
have
fun?
No idea. Oh, yeah. I actually called the cops twice, and they actually came out twice that night. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well.
Yeah, so I'm gonna buy about maybe 12 log cabins and just go live in the woods in Sanford, Florida.
Well, I call that being Jeremiah Johnson, and I think I'm going to do that myself. I'd like to get. I want to go somewhere where you got to come see me. You got to wear snowshoes.
Yeah, I know, right? Like in the middle of nowhere, you could grow a beard, and since I already have a beard, I'm going to change my name to Azekiah and just start raising sheep.
I got a little beard going myself this week. I decided to add a little pizzazz to the mustache and get the beard going, and it drives the ladies crazy.
I know. I think women like the beards on the guys.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. By the way, too, I'll announce now for everybody who's listening, there's a very good chance we may lose our internet connection. It's been off and on all week long, and I called Verizon. And Verizon told me that the reason everybody's having problems across the country is because of solar flares from the sun, which I thought that was a unique way to explain it. But from what I understand, the sun is shooting off solar flares. So if we lose this internet connection, I'll apologize ahead of time. Right now we're doing okay, but all week long I've been having problems. I think you've been having problems out there in Florida. So it's touch and go right now.
Yep, I saw you with a post on Facebook holding a cardboard sign. I guess Facebook has still got you under the thumb, looking to see who you add as friends and all that other fun stuff.
I click on somebody on Facebook who sends me a friend request, or actually it was a suggestion from another friend, and they did it to me again. So now I'm on a 21-day probation. I'm not allowed to ask for friends. I mean, I got an ankle bracelet on. I can't leave the house. It's crazy. It's like being in high school. It's like you can't talk to certain people. And I guess there's somebody out there who I may have sent a friend request who, for some odd reason, just doesn't like me and decided to report me. So
it's crazy. Almost like Facebook is China with all their internet restrictions.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. It's actually pretty sad. But anyway, that's why I posted my sign. I saw the guy out on the street at Walmart. He said, you know, we'll work for food. I figure, what the heck. I'll post the photograph. Anybody want to be my friend? Because I can't ask you to be my friend. And you know what's funny about that? I never got a friend request from that photo, so that should tell me something anyway.
Uh-oh. I guess it depends if you were wearing clothes behind the cardboard sign or not.
Well,
that may be a big deal.
See, well, that's what you do. You got to keep them guessing, and you know, sex sells. And I didn't want to let anybody know what I, you know. It's one of those questions: does he or doesn't he?
You know, I got a good, like, what about these adult stars that have Facebook pages that have like 3,000, 4,000 million people? I wonder if they get put under the screw.
I think your fan page, you're allowed to have as many as you want. And by the way, we have a whopping 34 fans. But I think our fan page
is right. we almost got as many as my podcast. I think I got 32 for my podcast.
Hey, 34 quality fans. That's what that is.
That's right. High quality, top notch, highfalutin fans.
And speaking of that, this is cool. We're segueing into every story this morning. Speaking of highfalutin, Super Bowl, all I can say is for those folks that have heard me say that we're going to be broadcasting at the Super Bowl, 1 minute we are, 1 minute we're not. 1 minute we are, 1 minute we're not. I've been dealing with corporate gurus all week. These guys have meetings to plan meetings, and it's been back and forth, back and forth, and talking to corporate sponsorships, et cetera, and well, I'll just say right now it's up in the air. The last thing the guy told me says, we'll have our people talk to your people, and your people can talk to their people, and our guys will talk to your guys, and it's like an orgy of talking heads. So
yeah, I know.
I don't
right?
We're trying to negotiate the deal, and I think the sticking point, though, is probably when they asked me what we wanted. I said, well, we want to be picked up in the Lamborghini limos.
Correct.
We wanted hot tubs with the Bathing Beauties models.
Right.
And
I also added tigers and lions and giraffes to the list. So we need a rolling zoo.
Yeah, so it's kind of up in the air, and there's some sticking points for the whole deal, but we'll see what happens. We got the people negotiating. I'm not really sure. It looks like some of the corporate sponsors came on board last night and this morning. I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook, but we're getting close. And I figured we'll just sit back and drink our favorite beer. Matter of fact, let me cue the ocean. We'll sit back and drink our favorite beer. And how does that go, Crispy?
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, it's Dos Equis.
Yep. So we'll sit back here at the beach while the talking kids work out their deal, and they can let us know if we're going to be going to the Super Bowl. But right now, who knows?
If I even went out and bought some new Speedo leopard print Speedos for the Super Bowl, my friend. Yeah.
Oh, great. You just ruined the deal. Thanks a lot.
Everybody left the chat room, too. Awesome. Way to go, Crispy. Way to go.
What we've got today is, now that we've goofed off enough, we've actually got a guest who has been, I guess, has guts enough to come on the show with us on Saturday morning. And I know she's been really nervous about coming on the show, so you have to be in your best behavior, Crispy, because I think she's a little nervous to be talking to us, and honestly, I know why. But on the show today, we have with us, she's a cupcake diva, Lily Munoz, and I hope I said her last name right. And Lily, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Good morning.
Doing great. Good morning.
So you are the cupcake diva of Cupcake Factory, and I assume you're surrounded by cupcakes right now, or icing or something. How's it going out there in Kansas City?
Well, it's going well. It's kind of chilly, and it's good. It's a really pretty morning, so.
And by the way, when I spoke to Lily, she was worried about her accent, and she said, "Don't make fun of my accent." And I told her, as long as she didn't make fun of my accent, we'd be just fine. And matter of fact, I'll make you feel better, Lily. Okay. So we have Lily Munoz. She's muy caliente.
Oh, my gosh.
And let me see. What else? What other words do I know? All the other words I know are like dos cervezas, por favor. You probably know those, Crispy, don't you?
Caliente peso, my friend. Caliente peso.
Yes. Thank you.
And the only other word I ever hear from my Hispanic friends when they come to visit me, I hear the word bendejo. And I don't know exactly what that means,
oh,
but they seem to use it a lot.
It's a
yes,
bad one.
That's a bad
let's
one.
Just not,
that's a bad.
Let's just not say it. And
yes.
It's a bad one.
So I probably shouldn't look it up, but I seem to hear it all the time. So anyway, don't worry about your accent, because that's all the Spanish I know, by the way. But we wanted to have you on to talk cupcakes. And I guess we'll let you tell us a little bit about how you got in the cupcake business and got into baking, and a little bit about what you do out there in Kansas City.
You know what, Brilliant? It's really, I always love to cook, savory, cook, you know, Mexican, I love the Mexican gastronomy, and so I'm always like that. But one day at my husband's office, they had a bake sale for a charity for poor children, or to feed the poor children. And I was like, well, what should I do? And I said, well, I'm just going to make some cupcakes. But I think I went a little bit over the top, and so I make flowers, and I make little things, like make them to look cute. So I made 2,000, I remember. And,
You did go over the top. 24
cupcakes.
Oh, 24? I thought you said 2,000.
Yeah, just that. And so they were like, they were big. They were the jumbo size. And the ladies who were selling they're helping selling the cupcakes. They were like, well, we don't know. We were like accepting donations. So they flew like in 10 minutes. My cupcakes, they were gone. So I kind of became popular at my husband's office, because there's like 600 people who work there.
Okay.
So, and everybody was like, wow, we heard about your cupcakes. They did another bake sale. And then this time they were like, we really want you to do cupcakes and blah, blah, blah. So, and this time I made 48 cupcakes, and that's how I started it.
And then from there, you
got cool.
I know. I was looking at your website, and you've got some real interesting, nice cupcakes. They're not just standard cupcakes like I would make from Duncan Hines and slap on some icing from the store. You've got all these, like you said, all these flowers and decorations. And from there, I guess you made your website, and you're now selling those in locally in your area.
Yes.
And making tons of money too, right?
Kind of. Eventually, I probably will make more than.
Now, do you have any big plans? I mean, do you still do them at home, or do you have a place that you make those now?
I'm doing it at home right now, but we are looking for a place because I need a big space now, a bigger space.
She needs a bigger boat.
Yes, I do. I do.
And then from there, I was noticing on Facebook, and then when we talked on the phone too, that you've really branched out. Did you recently? I guess you recently appeared on TV at a local station.
Yes.
What happened there, and how that all come about?
Well, it's Univision. It's the Spanish channel, and it's like in the whole city, and I mean in the whole country they have this channel, or I should say nationwide, but we have the same chain as they have it here, and it's local too. So I just send an email and I say, you know, I would love to teach and show the ladies who don't work, and then they watch your show. I would love to teach them how to, you know, do a cake or cupcakes, and I just want to do a little something for the Hispanic community. And I was like, Amy, if it's not possible, that's okay. I understand, and blah, blah, blah. That's the email that I sent.
Okay.
A week later, they called me, and they were like, oh, we would love for you to come and teach us how to do that, blah, blah, blah. So, that's how I did the segment, the baking segment.
So you're a movie star now. You're a cupcake movie star.
No.
Nice.
I wish.
And by the way, for those who are listening, if you're listening, you're probably looking at your computer. You can actually go on our page and see Lily's website and click on the link that we put on our website to see some of the things that she's doing and some of her photos of her cupcakes. And it's a long website address. I won't read it, but you can actually click on it from our website and go and see your cupcake creations. And so what are your big plans now that you're a movie star and now that you need a bigger place? Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
You know, I see managing my own baking shop and hopefully, you know, have another, like, different stores in different cities. So I hope so. I wish. That's my goal.
So another Mrs. Fields in the works, Crispy.
I know, right? I know. Her logo for the Cupcake Factory is very retro-ish, too. It was very eye-catching.
Yeah,
thank
I guess
you.
I assume that's pretty cool. I assume that's supposed to be a caricature of you, right?
You know, that's funny. A friend of mine did it, designed it, and I was like, well, I want something, yeah, that it resembles me, and that's what she came up with. So, yes.
And she got somebody else who wants to be on the radio in the background.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. I have my daughter with me.
Well, that's quite all right. Do you want to put her on the radio so she can say hello?
Madeline, you want to say hello? She says no.
No.
She's like, I want
Sorry,
a cupcake.
Guys.
I don't want to talk on the phone.
Sorry,
well, you know, we always get that reaction, Crispy. For some reason, the women don't want to talk to us.
I know, right? For me, it's just animals. Animals like to come up to me, and that's about it. And then they take a sniff and walk away, and I'm like, awesome, great.
So do you have any more TV appearances planned? Have they decided to bring you back on?
Yes, they want me to be back, And I'm excited. So this time it's going to be a segment of how to decorate cupcakes and icing the cupcakes. So I'm excited.
Now, don't tell all your secrets. Don't tell all your secrets.
No, I won't.
Now, if somebody like me or someone like Crispy wanted to buy your cupcakes, I know you don't actually sell them online now, but could they contact you through Facebook and order cupcakes? As long as they pay for the shipping, could they get cupcakes from you?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I haven't done it. I have a few people that they have asking me if I can ship them over. But I'm going to find out, and then I will post it on my Facebook page that when I'm available to do it.
Yeah, I have to tell you, when we posted that you were going to be on our show, I had massive amount of response of people who were excited about you being on the show, and there was quite a bit of advertising that went on Facebook, and I'm kind of looking forward to see what the numbers are going to be, because we usually have somewhere between 5 and 6 million listeners, so hopefully we're a lot closer. Hopefully you boost our ratings, because we actually ranked not last week, and I'm going to just do a little promo here. We ranked last week number 2 in the food category. So with all your listeners, friends who were supporting our broadcast here, maybe you'll push us to number 1 this morning.
I hope so. And I would love to say thanks to everyone, because they're such sweethearts, everyone. I'm not going to say names because I have a long list, but I just want to say thank you so much for all the support.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for everybody for your support, and for Lily's Cupcake Factory and Crispy and his, what do you call your business again? It's a voiceover business. Is there a name for it, Crispy? I forget.
I am a voiceover artist. That's who I am. The supervillain of voices. Not just a voiceover artist guy. I don't know what to call it.
Anyway, no, this show has, I think, been very good for the people who come on. We give you a chance to talk about your products and find out a little bit more about what's going on. And Lily, we do appreciate you coming on the show and wish you great success with your adventures. You know, now that we know a movie star, can we have your autograph?
I can make fun of it.
I know, right?
Well, when I became a movie star, I'm going to sell you my autograph, just because making fun of it.
Well, come on, we should at least get one free, for God's sake.
I know.
Okay, 2 for 1. $10.
We'll make two autographs for $10. We'll send risque photos of ourselves. You can sign it and send it back. How about that?
All this cupcake talk is making me hungry. I'm like, I want 24 cupcakes now.
Yeah, really. But no, we do appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us, and we do wish you lots of success. And now that you're on TV, and hopefully you'll find a place to expand your business and get it out there on the internet too. And matter of fact, you should probably talk to our friend Katarina, Miss Kitty Cat. She could probably help you figure out how to go from kitchen to local to international. She's got a real good website. Maybe she could help you out in doing that. And you never know. We might be talking to the next cupcake diva right here on our little show.
I know. She may just end up with a show on the Food Network, because you never know.
Well, just send me good vibes, and that's all I need. I hope so. I wish. That's my dream.
Well, we do appreciate you coming on and wish you success. And when you get those multiple locations on going and you have cupcakes being shipped all around the world, you're welcome to come on our show anytime and let us know how it's going.
Thank you so much. I will. You never know. I might send you a box of cupcakes soon.
Well, you know what? I might just accept them and eat them. All right. Well, you take care and go make some cupcakes, and good luck to you. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. And I would like to say thank you to Carol, too, for the invite.
Yes, thank you, Carol, for helping us out to get the Cupcake Diva on our show. All right, take care.
Thank you, and bye, the other guy.
Bye-bye. Bye to the other guy. How's it feel being the other guy?
Oh, it always seems like I'm the other guy. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, we are actually going to go to a break. Our next caller in for the show is got a pretty interesting story, and I won't steal his thunder, but we've got a guy coming on here who's an animator, and produced and directed his own movie. That's coming on, and it should be very interesting. His background, he's been an animator for such movies as Shrek and Rango and some other big name type of movies, and he's coming out with his own movie this I guess it's coming up sometime this year, but we'll be coming back to him with Nick Walker, and he'll be talking about his movie George Biddle's CPA, and it's about a superhero CPA going against a rogue IRS agent. And as we go into our break here,
do you have some spy agent music?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Thank you. As a matter of fact, I was trying to buy time while I was looking for it on the screen here. And
secret agent, man, something. I don't know the words, but it's okay.
Well, he actually forwarded me a song that's going to be used in the movie, and I'm going to play the song here as we go on the break. And we come back, we'll be talking to Nick about his new movie. So here we go. This is the actual movie. This is the actual song from the movie, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Now, that was cool. That was cool. That was Babylon Drifter from the movie that's coming out soon. And we've got our next guest on here, Nick Walker. Nick, are you online with us?
I guess I am. Am I?
Yes, you are. Good morning.
There
Welcome
you go.
To the show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
All right. We appreciate you coming on. I think you got some background noise. Is that coming from my phone? Oh, I think it's coming from my buddy Chris. Crispy, are you there?
Yes, I was making a drink. Sorry.
Oh,
it's early in the morning.
I didn't know
what you're talking about. You're on the East Coast, though, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in Orlando.
So
yeah,
it's not early in the morning for you right now.
No, but for me right now, this is early in the morning.
Okay.
But we do appreciate you coming on our show, Nick. And that song we just played is from your new movie, George Biddle, CPA. And thank you for coming on. And we appreciate
Thanks
you coming
me.
On our. You're welcome. We're coming on our little show here. First of all, first question I have to ask you, do you cook?
I do cook. Maybe not as much as I should, but I do cook. My
right.
day job
well,
kind of doesn't let me get home until 8 o'clock sometimes. So that's
well, that qualifies you for our show because it's a foodie show. The fact that you cook, you're allowed to be on the show.
Exactly. Particularly breakfast. Like cooking breakfast is my favorite thing to do.
Hey, there you go. So tell us a little bit about Nick. And from what I was reading on your bio, your background is you grew up on an almond farm, and from there I'll take the ball and run.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in an almond and walnut farm out in the California Central Valley, and I kind of came into this whole movie thing a little bit backwards. I from like the time I was like 9 years old, I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. Just knew I wanted to be an engineer. Looked up in the encyclopedia what the different types of engineers were. It's like, there you go, aerospace. I'm going to do that one. And I pretty much just stuck with that until about halfway through engineering school. And the engineering school I went to was fine and all, but it was just kind of geared towards pushing New England kids into giant New England engineering firms. And I'm this California kid who didn't really have the mentality for big New England engineering firms.
Well, you know, I was actually going to go into engineering too, but I couldn't find a big enough train. I was always on the wrong tracks.
Exactly. But yeah, like halfway through, I decided, all right, fine. I'm not going to make a movie. If I'm not going to make spaceships for NASA, I'll make spaceships for the movies instead.
Cool.
And
I
was planning on getting into practical effects. Actually blowing things up and animatronic puppets and that sort of stuff. Did a little bit of work in that area. And then, but then also just on the side, I happened to be interested in computer animation. And I just happened, and this was all happening right around the time when, leading up to about when Toy Story came out, Pixar's first movie. And so I kind of got tired of my day job that I had at that time and decided, I'd been doing some all CG commercials for the local cable company. And so I just thought, I'm tired of this job. I'm going to see if I can get a CG job. And I just happened to get a job at a place that basically this company called Pacific Data Images that DreamWorks had bought in order to do their first CG movie, Ants. So I just, so it's a demo reel that I had. There was probably not another time in history I could have actually gotten a job other than right then when they were so desperate for people who knew anything about computer animation whatsoever. I was like, all right, you've heard of a computer? You've got at least one hand? Okay, come on in. We can use you somehow. And just there, just a little bit of convenience came up from there. And it just happened to be, Ants and then Shrek and all that kind of stuff. So
you were actually doing the animation on the computer for Shrek and for Ants and for, what's the other one called, Rango?
Rango was the most recent one. Like after I'd been at DreamWorks for a dozen years or so, I kind of got, you're anywhere for long enough, you kind of start getting itchy and wanting to move around a bit.
Right.
So I took a little bit of time off. By the way,
I get that way at the bars. If I'm there too long, you want to go to a different one.
it's a longer cycle with the job thing, hopefully. Otherwise, you're going to be changing jobs every couple hours. So I took a little bit of time off after DreamWorks and actually spent the time, I've been making somebody else's stories for so long. It's like, I want to do my own stories. So I took a little bit of time off and actually just wrote a few screenplays. And one of those screenplays was actually George Biddle, which was based on a short that I had done a short film way back, like 10 years earlier, like back in 99. And so this was kind of the expansion of that short. But then, you know, after a little bit of time off, you need to be employed again. So I managed to get a job at a place called Industrial Light and Magic up in San Francisco, because they were just starting to launch their first all-computer animated film. Like, normally they do special effects work on, like, Transformers movies or Star Wars movies or stuff like that. But they were starting to do their first animated film, and the one part of that process that they did not really have any experience in, like, most of it they're experts in, but there's one area that they didn't really have a lot of experience in, and that just happened to be the area that I had spent my career specializing in. So I was able to come in and help them with Rango, and then the whole time I was working on Rango, I was like, okay, the point here is to make enough cash that I can, when Rango's done, I can take some time off and I can actually go out and shoot George Biddle. And so that's what happened.
And then, matter of fact, let me mention your website for people who want to know, find out a little bit more about the actual movie. It's www.overdidit.com.
That's right.
It's actually on our website. You can click on the link. But where did that name come from, Overdid It?
That Overdid It came from when I was in high school. Me and two friends of mine, Shane Washburn and David Silvera, we were in a history class together. And right at that time, this is, you know, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere around there, like probably 1990, maybe 89. Right at that time, the phrase of the moment was, actually it was kind of a put down of the moment, was you overdid it. And it's like, okay, calm down, boy, you overdid it, put you back in your place, I'm too cool for that. But we kind of started taking a little bit of pride in overdoing certain things. And you would take notes in that class that were largely, you know, just copy down what was on the board onto your piece of paper and turn it in, and you got credit for those notes, which doesn't take a whole lot of your brain power. So
You'd
spend the rest of the time, like, decorating just being artistic and decorating the borders of the notes and drawing in all sorts of doodles and that sort of thing. And then, you know, every cycle is figure out, okay, how can I one up the ones I did last time? You know, okay, these notes were called, you know, N/1, N/2, N/3. Okay, now I'm going to start spelling it out. Notes 1, notes 2, note 3. Okay, this round I'm going to do it in a foreign language. You know, doing Italian, doing it in French, doing it, you know, that sort of thing. Okay, next round. Okay, we did foreign languages. Let's look up languages that are in foreign alphabets, so like Cyrillic and Egyptian hieroglyphs, and you know, all that sort of stuff.
And you were overdoing it because me, when I sat in class like that, I was doodling and making like dogs and cats and
yeah, we were making like one. I think it was, I can't remember who did it. I think it was maybe David that did it. It was actually made this sign that it was like this paper sign thing and said, you overdid it, or you can flip up a flap and it would say you way overdid it, or you could pull this little slider out and it would have, you know, number of exclamation marks depending on how far you pulled the slides. It was kind of entertaining.
So that's where the actual name of the company and the website came from.
That's where it came from. It's just kind of stuck over all the years.
Well, tell us a little bit about the movie itself. Like, what's know the storyline, but those who are listening may not know a lot about it, and give a little background on that.
Exactly. Most people in the world probably don't know a whole lot about it. So anyway, so George Biddle, CPA. George is the swashbuckling accountant who's being challenged by his old math nemesis from high school, who's now a rogue IRS agent. And their last childhood face-off ended kind of controversially. So the now IRS agent wants a rematch. And he's leading George down this paper trail of challenges that are all very, very loosely based on the 12 labors of Hercules. But he's leading him down these 12, this paper trail of challenges that all culminate in a renewed face-off at George's family chicken farm and feather pillow factory. So it's all kind of, the whole idea kind of sprung from, you know, when I decided to make this transition into working on films, whenever you do that, you always kind of at some point you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, what kind of movie do I want to make? And I was driving through the Central Valley at the time for whatever reason. And, you know, when you're out driving these, you know, long, fantastically empty highways and such, you kind of think, you have to make a road movie. A road movie would be fun. Everybody wants to make a road movie. And fine, I'll make a road movie. But, you know, road movies are dime a dozen. You know, you got to make something to make your road movie kind of special and stand out. So what can I do with mine? I'm And I was thinking, okay, well, mine, you know, I want a hero. Like, I like proper hero, you know, proper heroes who are really good at what they do. You know, the Indiana Jones of the world, Buckaroo Banzai, Doc Savage, you know, just these guys who are really good at what they do. But at the same time, like, the heroes that we've turned to in the last decade or so are more geared towards the everyman thing, just for the sake of identification.
Right.
You know, just feel like you could be that guy up there.
I still
harken back to these. I still like these heroes that are these specialists in what they do. So my idea was just simply, okay, well, we've got a hero who is you know, just kind of a normal, everyday-looking accountant. He's got, like, a very normal sort of job. He's an accountant, but he's the badass of accountants. He is the superhero of accountants. You know, he's still just an average-looking guy. You know, we very, very purposefully and very luckily, actually, were able to find an actor for the role who's, you know, is not necessarily Mr. Square Jaw. I look like Brad Pitt out there, you know, being my super suave hero. But he actually does still have the super sloth thing. He's just, you know, a little more everyday guy, a little bit roly-poly, kind of what you would think with an average accountant looking like. And yet he is still badass, still gets the girl, and is still the man. So, I don't know. It's taking that notion that, you know, just because what you do is not, you know, flying around with a cape and rescuing people off of falling bridges, doesn't mean
that Chris can't be
a grand and great thing and cannot help people and save the day and make you the superhero of the day.
Well, like Crispy, that means there's hope for you out there in Florida.
There is. There's lots of hope. It's not easy being a supervillain such as myself, you know. Fly around with my goatee flapping in the wind, sounding like a flat tire on the highway. It's awesome.
Exactly.
So you actually produced, put the money up for the movie, and directed the movie. And how far along? I mean, when is it actually going to be brought to the market?
Okay, so we're like just in the last stages of post production now. Like the edit's done. We're just kind of doing like the sound, getting the sound all balanced nicely. I've got a friend from college who's helped me with the music, getting that filled out everywhere. And then me and hopefully a couple of my crew members who know After Effects are going to be helping me with getting the color grading done, you know, just getting the, like when you shoot a film, you know, it's like you might shoot this one scene that theoretically takes place in 2 minutes, but it takes you all day to shoot it. And so
right.
The lighting conditions change, or, you know, your camera settings get screwed up or something like that. So you have to go through and just adjust the colors and, you know, make sure everything kind of looks consistent, not pop around all over the place. Plus, there's kind of an artistic element to that, to the colorization. That you can kind of modify the colors a little bit to sort of help underpin the point of the story and the flow of emotions that you want to have as you go through the story. So we're going through that color grading process right now. I'm hoping we should really be, like, done with that parts with, you know, within, like, a couple of weeks, I would hope. I've been saying that for, I feel like, months now, so who knows. But anyway, we're going to hope to have, like, a cast and crew premiere sometime in February, it looks like, at this point. Like, cast and crew premiere in February in the Central Valley, close to where we shot it. I'll probably also do, like, a friends and family premiere here in the Bay Area. Like, I'm in San Francisco, so probably do one here, just all my friends. Don't necessarily have to trace all the way out to Central Valley to see it. But then after that, we're hoping to get DVD. We've got like a kind of a range of how we're trying to get it out in the world, trying to get it in the festivals, so folks can see it there. There's a bunch of other things in the middle, you know, like I'm going to try to see if we can get involved in like some accountant conventions or something like that, because I figured they'd
right.
love that.
How long of a film is it?
Right now, I think it's like 105 minutes or something. So it's
okay.
You know, it's your average not long movie sort of thing, but it is full feature length.
I'm putting my partner on the spot here because he's a voiceover guy. So
Crispy,
the Crispy. You know the guy who does the movie intros. The guy died. Can you give us a little movie intro?
With George Biddle?
Yeah, with George Biddle. Go ahead. We'll put you on the spot. This might be a big break right here.
George Biddle, CPA superhero. I don't know. I gotta read more. Unfortunately.
Jeez. He crushes under pressure. Oh my God.
Yes.
So much for your world, where all taxes matter, and only one man can save the little guy from excessive taxation.
Exactly. Or since the dawn of time, there was George Biddle. Insert something else here.
Exactly.
Sorry to interrupt you, Nick.
So all told, we're like festivals and try to get like maybe even a limited distribution release in the in theaters in Central Valley. But like one of my goals is I would love, if possible, if I could pull this off, love to have DVDs available by April 15th or something, tax day this year.
Oh yeah.
Or something. We'll do something so that as many people as possible can see it on April 15th, because that's kind of the appropriate day for this movie.
I do know here in Orlando, we do have several independent film movie festivals and other almost Sundance, but on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
In Orlando.
Yeah, I've got a list of, right now. There's this great website called Without a Box that is good for, you can get your film registered in there, and then they've just got hundreds and hundreds of festivals around the world that makes it really easy for you to register with those festivals. So I was going through some of those and picking some out either that were, nice and local, so we kind of had the local thing going for us, or that were simply, I would like to go there. That sounds great. Let's go to the Hawaii Film Festival. I like the sound of that. Things like that. So we'll be trying to register some more of those and see what we can get ourselves into.
Very cool.
So you're looking at hopefully coming out with it April 15th, and it'll be done more on a small scale. And I guess I don't understand how the movie business works, but from there, I guess it all depends upon distribution at that point, correct?
There's kind of stages of distribution. There's the domestic distributors you can try to get in with. I don't know that this is such a unique little oddball of a film that I don't know how appropriate it would be for your mass market, here's 4,000 screens kind of release, but on a smaller scale in the Central Valley might make sense. There's certain domestic types of distribution that might make sense. We might even try getting into foreign market sales. See if there. I'd actually just love the idea. I've always loved the notion of we don't need to be this huge mega blockbuster anywhere in the world, but I would love the notion that there's just one small little pocket somewhere in the world. We showed on late night TV in Bolivia and they went crazy for the movie and have George Biddle convention every year. And so my actors, basically anywhere in the world, they would just be normal people, but if you go to this one small town in Bolivia on a certain time of year and be superstars, just because that town went crazy for the film. I would absolutely adore.
There's some cities that I've been to that I have to stay out of for that exact reason, but it's not good publicity, it's bad publicity.
All publicity is good publicity. Ride it the right way. So we'll do all those things. We'll maybe try to do some online distribution. I've got some contacts at Netflix and Vudu and places like that. So we've got a multitude of different ways we can try to get this out to the world. So we just kind of have to go down the list and see what we can do with each one.
I'm excited for when it comes out. It's just when I was reading about it and Grillion was telling me about it, I was just like, man, this movie is just awesome, because right now the way the world is, everyone doesn't like the government or the IRS, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Oh. Exactly.
It's awesome.
So now, do you, Nick, have any future plans for any more movies on the horizon?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple other screenplays we're already talking about in the works. The one that I really want to do more than anything else, and I'm just not necessarily ready to do it yet, is I've got this one idea for a story about this giant rabbit that destroyed San Francisco. Like, I'm a big fan of giant monster films like Godzilla films and stuff like that. And I want to do kind of your American version of Godzilla. But the thing is, Godzilla films, they're very Japanese, and there's a lot of things that just culturally don't translate into the U.S. But
right.
I think I've figured out how to alter that dynamic and how to come up with what sort of a dynamic would help a giant monster film work for an American kind of Western style audience. So I have got an idea for that. And hope to have this giant rabbit destroying San Francisco. But before that, to do that right, that requires a bit of a budget. And such, I can't really fund that myself. So I did this one first, just get some experience of directing and actually doing a film. I want to do one more that's also a small film that has a budget, so I'm not paying for everything myself, and I can actually hire people to do things rather than just begging and borrowing their time. Because we basically paid nobody for anything in this film. It's all volunteer stuff.
I can see it now.
I want to do one more of a budget, and then maybe we can do the rabbit.
Nick, how about Harvey meets Godzilla?
Exactly. Except for you can actually see him.
I think the rabbit should have, like, some kind of crazy weapons, like, I don't know, cupcake bombs or something with food or...
He kind of vomits out. Because the rabbit has kind of the toxic vomit sort of stuff. But then also there's like this paramilitary force that's going after him that has like these giant shoulder launched tasers eventually. And there's a lot of electricity involved in the movie.
He fires out atomic Easter eggs out his butt. I'm holding out. If you're ever looking for a tall, dark, handsome leading man, just let me know.
I'll keep you on the list.
Put me on the list. Well,
that'll be your next movie, Spatula Man.
Yeah, exactly. We do appreciate you coming on.
Next, we got to get through the grillers.
There you go. Hey, there's a lot of us out there too. But we do appreciate you coming on the show, and we do wish you success in the launch of the movie. And everybody who's out there listening, check it out on his website, the George Biddle CPA. I'm sure you'll be posting information on your website as the launch happens and how people may want to be able to see it. And the website, again, is www.overdidit.com. And Somewhere between the 5 and 6 million people that listen to our show, maybe there'll be some folks out there who would like to step up to the plate and go see your movie when it comes out.
Excellent. I really appreciate it.
We do appreciate you coming on, and keep us posted,
yes,
too. Let us know how it moves along, and when you get the launch and come out, we'd like to find out more about how it's going and about your new movies and how they're coming along.
Yeah, sounds excellent.
All right, well, thanks again.
Yeah, have a
good
weekend.
Very cool. You too, much success.
Thank you.
And there you go. That was Nick Walker, and we appreciate him coming on our show. And everybody check out George Biddle, CPA. Go to his website. And it sounds like an interesting movie, especially, like you said, April 15th. I agree, Crispy, since everybody's kind of against the establishment, it sounds like the perfect timing for the movie.
It does, and that red Chevy that's in the one photo, that was pretty pretty sweet. I wonder if he drives that in the movie. I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, he does. I think that's his vehicle in the movie. So it looks like it'd be very interesting. If you guys want to see the clip, there's about an 8 or 10 minute clip that you can go and watch on the movie, and it seems like it's kind of an interesting twist on the superhero types of movies. Well,
very cool. Very cool.
Guess what? We got 5 minutes left. We shot through the hour.
5 minutes. And you want to sing Patty Cake Baker's Man?
No, I think we'll let the professionals do their singing. For all you guys that are listening, we don't know what's happening next week, whether we're going to be at the Super Bowl or not. We're going to still broadcast whether we are or not here. We've got some new guests lined up for the next coming weeks. We've got reports from Kitty Cat. We got reports from Tara Tinsley. We even got a new segment that's going to be coming on once a month or so about Vegas.
what's happening in Vegas. So yeah, it's gonna we got a lot of neat things coming on, and there should be some great shows coming up, and hopefully we might be broadcasting next Saturday somewhere in Indianapolis. And if not, well, that means our people didn't get with their people and make the deal and probably
right.
supply so hot tubs and limos.
What it is they're afraid because we are so devilishly handsome that the spotlight will be on these awesome guys broadcasting.
Yeah. I'm
sure
that's exactly.
Know what to do.
And on that creepy note, we appreciate everybody tuning in, and come back next week when we introduce you to some folks in the foodie land. The Bad Boys of Foodie Airwaves will be grilling somebody next week, and we will be signing off here. And thanks again for tuning in to Grillion Ideas Radio, and everybody have a nice weekend.
Yes, thanks for all your support.
Strikes and wearing nylon suits.